Amen. John chapter 4 in your Bibles this morning.
John chapter number 4 in your Bibles this morning. Appreciate you, ladies. John chapter number 4 in your Bibles this morning. John chapter number 4 in your Bibles this morning. Been going through the book of John on Sunday mornings, and remember last month we've really been in John chapter number 4 going through the story of Jesus with the woman of Samaria, and that woman, that very loose woman, saw her need for Christ as her personal Savior. And we come to John chapter number 4 today, and notice there in verse number 43, Jesus has now left the Samaritan woman and left the city there, Sychar, and now Jesus continues his journey back to Cana of Galilee. It says in verse 43, "Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was coming to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast. For they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. There was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he had heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him, besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed in his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he came out of Judea into Galilee. Father, would you work this morning in a special way? I pray that we would come to you with desperate faith. Lord, I pray today that we would be willing to go deeper in our faith and our walk with you. Father, help me as I preach. May I communicate your truth clearly. Give us ears to hear, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember there in John chapter number 2, the first miracle recorded by John the Apostle was there in Cana of Galilee at that wonderful wedding of Cana where they ran out of wine, they ran out of the grape juice, and Jesus said to those servants, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them to the brim, and he said, all right, draw it now and bear it under the governor of the feast, and they bear it, and that ruler, the leader, the one that was in charge of the wedding, he tasted it and said, man, this is the best I've ever tasted, and man, this is some wonderful, good, high-quality stuff that you produced, and the first miracle was performed by the Lord there in Cana of Galilee. Well, after that, remember, Jesus Christ, he leaves Cana, and he goes to Jerusalem to fulfill the Passover duties, to fulfill his duty of worship. And he goes there to that feast, and he cleanses the temple. Remember, cleans it all up, and throws a money changer's table over, and the sheep and oxen go scurrying out. And Jesus made it clear. He said, listen, my house is to be a house of prayer, but you made it a den of thieves. You made it a place of business. And Jesus said, get rid of it. And then everybody's all in an uproar, man. Everybody is talking about what has taken place. And Jesus said to them, listen, he said, I am the Messiah. I'm the one that's been prophesied to come. You've heard about it. You know the time is right. The scripture clearly teaches it. I am that promised Messiah. And yet the Bible says that the people in his hometown rejected that message, and yet Jesus has now made his way back to Cana of Galilee. The Bible says there on that day that the folks, they heard that Jesus was there, they heard that he was come to spend some time in their city, and so they all came out to him desiring to see a miracle. You know, as I think about the city of Cana of Galilee, when I think about those folks that desired to hear him, what did they want? They wanted to see Jesus do a miracle. Man, they were not interested in Christ as a Messiah. They were interested in Christ as a miracle worker. Man, they wanted to see the Pharisees rebuked and scorned and bore their hypocrisy exposed. They wanted to see another miracle like the wedding of Cana of Galilee. Boy, they were all excited about this celebrity, Jesus, that had shown up, and they were interested in his fame, but they weren't interested in his message. And I kind of call those folks the freeloading individuals. Man, they're the ones that, what can you do for me? They're the ones, hey, feed me, take care of me, do something for me, instead of being interested in the message. And you understand this morning, Christian, that God desires for us to move from the what can you do for me to an individual that goes on in a deeper, more productive walk with the Savior. And I wonder this morning, where are you at in your walk? Where are you at in your journey of faith with the Savior? Are you with, you know, Jesus, I want you for salvation. Jesus, do this for me. Do this for me like the crowds were. Or are you an individual that is truly seeking to be a disciple of the Savior? Unfortunately, so many Christians have the mindset and the mentality of, hey, I come to church and I'm doing Jesus a favor. I'm checking it off my list for this week of my duties and my responsibilities. And yet Christ comes to us and he says, listen, it's time for us to take that next step. Hey, you were spiritual babes, but now it's time to grow, and it's time for us to mature, and it's time for us to focus on our walk and our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you notice here in this story, would you notice first of all, how there was a man that came to Jesus with a desperate faith. It says in verse number 46, so Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. There was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. Then when he had heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. This nobleman, you understand, this nobleman was more than likely a well-off individual. He most likely had a big bank account. Probably at his disposal were the best of the doctors there in the area. He was a man that would serve with authority and power. He didn't need the position. He didn't need the pat on the back. He didn't need Jesus to feed him. Hey, all these different things were going right for this nobleman, except the reality that his son was at the point of death. Let me just say this morning, it does not matter how much you have in the bank or how little you have in the bank. Doesn't matter how powerful or and famous you may be, or how just Joe Schmo you may be. Trials and troubles and death and sickness comes to everybody. And this man had a son whom he dearly loved that was at that point of death. I'm sure he went to the emergency room, and the emergency room doctor came back and said, ma'am, we can't do anything for him. I'm sure the best doctors were called, the best medicine was prescribed, and yet the prognosis did not look very well. This boy was going downhill, and this father knew that if he did not do something extreme, he was going to lose his precious boy. And so what did this dad do? This dad said, I'm making this journey from my home to over there to Cana of Galilee because there's Jesus who can perform a miracle. Now, I don't know exactly how this man heard about the miracle of Cana of Galilee, but you understand the whole nation talked about Jesus. Jesus was just not some local, you know, famous individual in a small little town. I mean, everybody knew who Jesus was. Everybody heard about the miracles. Everybody talked about his messages that were preached. Everybody was abuzz with the news of Jesus. And so this man made the decision, I'm going to Christ with my problems. I'm going to the Savior because I desperately need him to work. Hey, can I ask you this morning? When's the last time you got desperate with God? When's the last time that you went to God with complete and utter desperation? God, I need you to do something in my life. I think about this situation. Here's a boy that's about ready to die. And my mind went back to when my wife and I, when we lost our precious baby. My wife was, I was preaching a revival in New York State, and Chris called me. She said, I'm on my way to the emergency room, and I'm in a lot of pain. And I went to the emergency room and found out that she was having a tubal pregnancy. And for 2 weeks, we were going back and forth to the doctors. For 2 weeks, you know, we're trying to see what we can do to allow this pregnancy to go forward. And I remember during that time, boy, we would go to the doctor, and the doctor would say, there's no hope. And we'd be driving back home, and I just remember, boy, just crying. Lord, please, would you do a miracle? God, I know the doctors say there's no hope. I know that it looks like we're losing the baby, but God, you can do great things. After all, you made mankind, and you breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God, you can move, and you can work on our behalf. You can do a miracle. I just remember the desperate cry that my wife and I shared during those 2 weeks. Lord, would you do something that only you could do? I was there visiting Brother Rowan this morning, and I was mentioning this as I was preaching through this to him there in the nursing home. And Mrs. Rowan paused me and stopped me. She said, "Pastor, you mean like what took place a couple weeks ago when I realized my husband was having a stroke and the ambulance picked him up and we're driving down the road and the cry that I was making to God as I'm driving down the road, God, please don't take my husband. God, would you spare his life?" That's the situation this man is in. God, my son's on his way to the emergency room. There's no hope. The doctors have given us just a short amount of time. God, would you please do something? Hey, can I ask you, when's the last time you got desperate with God? Yes, maybe about a situation like that, but when's the last time, instead of it being a 911 emergency call to God, when's the last time you got desperate with God over a lost family member? You know, I'll be honest with you, folks. A couple months ago, I preached that message on that Wednesday night about Abraham, or not about Abraham, about Moses there on the mountain with God. And Moses said, "God, don't wipe out the Israelites. God, don't destroy them. God, if you're going to do it something, then blot my name out of the book of life. God, don't destroy your people." And Moses there on the mountain was extreme with God. He said, "God, you can't do that. God, if it means me dying and going to hell for your people, then God, blot my name out of the book. I don't care." Moses was willing to get desperate with God. And it's just moved me and gripped me these last couple months of how it's so easy to talk about souls that need to get saved. It's so easy to talk the talk. But when are we going to get serious with God? When are we going to say, "God, I desire for you to move and work. My family member is dying and going to hell. And God, if you don't bring conviction, and the Holy Spirit does not draw them, they're going to spend eternity in the flames of hell. God, would you please save my lost child? Save my lost family member? Save my niece, my nephew? Save my coworker?" When's the last time you truly got serious with God? I wonder, when's the last time you said, "God, I'm willing to forgo food. I'm willing to get in that place of the Most High. I'm willing to plead with you. I'm willing to shed the tears. Hey, God, I'll turn the computer off. I'll turn off the internet. I'll turn off all the gadgets and gizmos. And God, I'm not going to leave your presence until you answer that request." When's the last time you got desperate with God? I'll tell you the reason we tarry in a state of lukewarmness, the reason we are at that complacent walk with God, is because we're not willing to get desperate with the Savior. This man had no other options. There was no other way to go. "Lord, I need you to do a miracle." He got desperate with God. I wonder, when's the last time you got desperate with him? When's the last time it wasn't, "Well, you know, I'm on my way to the hospital, so I'm going to call on God." By the way, there's nothing wrong with calling upon God on the way to the hospital. But oh, he desires to hear your desperate call long before 911 takes place. He desires to hear your burdens, and he desires for you to bring every burden to him in pleading in that prayer. When's the last time you got fired up and sold out for God on your knees in prayer? Oh, there was a desperate need. He was on that deathbed, knocking on death's door. It says in Exodus 33:18, the Bible, notice in verse 49, it says, "The noble man saith unto him, Sir, come down here, my child die." You hear the desperation? What was he desperate about? What did he desire? What did he say in verse number 47? He besought him. He was pleading with him. Exodus 33:18, it says, and he said, talking about Moses, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." You know what Moses said to God? Moses said, God, I want to see you. God, I beseech you. Please, God, please let me see your glory. Hey, can I ask you? When's the last time you begged God to see him for who he really is? When I was in Bible college, a friend of mine named Ben helped him and his wife, godly couple. Ben and I were talking one day, and Ben told me, he said, "You know, preacher," he says, "you know what my wife prays?" I said, "Tell me, Ben, what does she pray?" Ben's one of these intense guys that just, I mean, man, he'll probably come preach for us one day, just a great, great godly man. But he said, "You know," he said, "my wife," we were talking the other day, she said, "You know, Ben, I just want to see God. just want to see God. I love to be like Moses on the backside of the desert and see God in his glory and his beauty. And I just long for God. When's the last time you longed for God? When's the last time you said, Father, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. God, I just don't want to read my Bible because I'm checking off my checklist to read it through the year. But no, God, I long to know you. I long to taste and see that the Lord is good. I long to hear your voice. I long to seek you. Moses longed for God. Numbers 12:13, it says, Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. Talking about his sister Miriam when God smote her with leprosy. And Moses said, God, heal her, I beseech you. I'm pleading with you, God. Would you heal her? When's the last time you pleaded, God, I'm beseeching you. Hey, save my lost family member. Take care of that need. It says in 2 Samuel 24:10, and David's heart smote him after he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. Hey, David said, God, would you please blot out my sin? God, would you forgive me? There was that earnestness. There was that pleading. There was that urgent matter. God, would you please do something? Nehemiah chapter number 1, I love the story of Nehemiah. Nehemiah sitting there in the palace of the king. He had the paycheck, he had the benefits, he had the comfy house, he had everything his heart desired. And yet Nehemiah heard the news about his hometown. He heard the news about Jerusalem, the walls were broken down, the gates were burned with fire. And Nehemiah got along with God. He said, God, three times he used the word beseech. He said, God, I beseech you, please, Lord, would you use me to go back to see those walls rebuilt? You see, there's a personal responsibility that we all have to get a hold of God. It's our job to plead for revival. It's our job to plead for salvation. It's our job to get desperate in our faith. God, I need you. I think about my kids. You know, many times my kids will be like, hey, Dad, can I have this? I'm like, no. You know, if they say, Dad, can we have ice cream? Nope. But you know what? When they come to me and they say, Dad, and there's that, you know how sometimes kids do it? Boy, there's that pleading. There's that need. I think about a lot of times, the kids will need clothes or they'll need as a dad, you know what I do many times when there's a real need? Man, I'll step in. We'll step in. Why? Because that's what a father's job is to do, to provide. And folks, we've got a good heavenly Father who loves us and cares for us. And he desires to get good things and then ask him. But we've got to go. We've got to ask him. We've got to be desperate in our faith. When's the last time that you're desperate with God? He needed God to work. He was willing to pay the price. He most likely took a 15 to 20 mile journey to just go and see the Savior, not even guaranteed to have an audience with him. And then he went out seeking God desperately, needing him to work. We see, number one, there was a desperate faith. But notice in verse number 48, it says, then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Man, you talk about a rebuke. Can't you see the scene? Man, here's a dad broken. God, do something. Jesus, my son's at the point of death. Please, would you leave this ministry and would you journey back home with me? And Jesus said, except you see signs and wonders, you won't believe. What was Jesus saying? He was rebuking him for, hey, let's really see where you're really at. Let's really see how sincere you are. Is it all about the miracles or do you truly believe in me? Hey, Jesus got right to the chase, right? He got cut right to the heart. And I love what the man said there in verse 49. He said, sir, come down ere my child die. There was a desperate faith. He needed God to work. But notice as the story goes on, notice how God, Jesus calls him to a deeper faith. It says in verse number 50, Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. The man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Notice there the truth on that day. Jesus, the man said, sir, come down ere my child die, right? Jesus, here's what I want you to do. And by the way, isn't it amazing how we have plans for Jesus all worked out? I don't know about you, but I know my own self sometimes. It's like, okay, Jesus, I need you to do A, B, C, and D. And Jesus says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do D. Hey, your plan is for me to leave this ministry and walk down these dark, dusty roads for 15 to 20 miles to go to your house, to walk in, to say, boom, here's a miracle, take place. He said, I'm not going to do that. Here's what I'm going to do. Go thy way, thy son liveth, but I'm not going with you. You know, God works on his own timetable. But what was Jesus asking this man to do? He was asking him to take his faith a little deeper. hey, are you going to believe my word? You want me to come with you and then speak to him? Jesus said, hey, you make the journey by yourself, believing what I've said, your son's going to live. You know, sometimes those long times, those long dusty trails home by yourself, believing God, boy, it's a struggle sometimes. Sometimes it's hard. When God asks you to do something for him, when God says, hey, I want you to give this offering. I want you to write this check. I want you to do this for me. And boy, we take that step of faith. And boy, we don't sometimes know how all the pieces are going to come together. And yet God says, trust me. Trust me. Walk with me. Believe me. Step out by faith. It's a deeper walk. I think about the story of Naaman. Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, a great man, a mighty man of valor, had done great exploits for the king, but he was a leper, right? There was that little maid that said, if you go to Israel and you meet the prophet will heal you of your leprosy. The man leaves everything. He goes there to Israel. Remember, the prophet was busy? Man, the prophet's inside. He sends his servant out. Hey, servant, go tell Naaman if he wants to be healed of his leprosy, go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. Remember, Naaman got mad. And boy, he said, forget that, I'm going home. He's leaving to go back home. And the servants come up to him and says, listen, Naaman, hey, Naaman, what are you thinking? And Naaman said, well, I thought that he would come down, a lance on me, call fire from heaven, ask me to do all these great things for him, and then I would be healed. And yet he wants me to go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. And yet the servants convinced him, go dip 7 times. On that 7th time, as he dipped out of that water, what happened? He was healed of his leprosy. Why? Because he was willing to step out and believe what the man of God had said. I think about the story of Abraham. Abraham was walking with God for quite some time. God said, Abraham, you'll be a father of many nations. Your kids are going to be as a sand, which is by the seashore in number. Stars without number. Hey, Abraham, I'm going to give you a child. I'm going to bless your child. Well, remember, Isaac is born. Man, Abraham is now well up in years. God comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, Abraham, do you love me? Of course, God, I love you. Abraham, has it been wonderful walking with me? Absolutely. Man, you've taken care of all my needs, exceeded and abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Abraham, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your son, your only son, Isaac. I want you to offer him on that sacrifice in Mount Moriah. Well, you talk about a step of faith. Abraham, you're going to believe God? Abraham, you're going to trust God? Abraham, you're going to give up that which is dearest and nearest to you? Are you going to sacrifice and give God all your all? Hey, Abraham had to step out into a deeper walk with God. Hey, I wonder, what is it in your life that God is calling upon you to give back to him? What is it in your life that God is dealing with you about? What is it that God is saying, hey, is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Are you willing to lay your Isaac on the altar? Peter, we're in the stormy sea. Jesus comes walking on the water. Hey, Peter, heard the Savior say, Peter, step out of the boat, come unto me, right? Hey, Peter only had the word of the Savior, right? Yet Peter stepped out of that boat, believing God. He stepped out into a deeper relationship with him. Can I ask you today, child of God, are you willing to step out by faith? Are you willing to take that deeper step in your walk with God? Understand, if you walk with God, if you're serving him, there will be a time in your life when God calls you to a deeper walk, where he says, hey, I want you to take this next step. I wonder, are you willing to give that up? Think about Pastor Skelly, our pastor there in Pennsylvania. Many of you have met him. Pastor Skelly, pastor in a large church in Pennsylvania. Hey, Pastor Skelly, I want you to leave your baby. Your baby, you've been there 20 years nurturing and growing and helping to go on and produce for you. Hey, Kurt, I want you to leave that. I want you to leave your salary. I want you to leave your comforts. I want you to step out and walk by faith. Pastor Skelly resigned, said, all right, God, whatever you want me to do, right? Left his baby. Left the church, right? God, what are you doing? He's pushing him to a deeper walk with him. I wonder, what is it in your life that God's pushing you to do? What is it in your life that God's saying, hey, I want you to give this up. I want you to do this. I think about the Van Winkles going to Turkey. You know, what would motivate somebody to give up a career and somebody to give up a future of making money? It's God saying, hey, take that next step deeper. Hey, it could be I'm preaching to somebody today. God's dealing with you maybe about the mission field. God's saying, hey, I'm calling you. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send you forth in the labor field. Hey, God's calling you, and you're sitting back saying, well, I've got my career. there. I've got my house. I've got my kids. I've got this. Here's why I can't go. And God says, hey, I'm calling you to a deeper walk. I'm calling you to step out of the boat. I'm calling you to lay your Isaac on the altar. I'm calling you to trust me with the blueprints of your life. Noble man said, sir, would you come heal my boy? Jesus said, hey, you go your way, your son's going to live, right? Notice what it says in verse number 51. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. We see that word believe over and over and over in the book of John. Remember that word believe in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth. Remember, synonymous with that word believeth is chapter number 2, how Jesus did not commit himself. That word commit, believe, kind of all synonymous, ties them together. What did that man do? The man heard the message of Jesus, and he believed it, and he applied it. You see, he just didn't sit around and say, okay, Jesus, I believe you, but I'm going to wait till you're free and we're going down together. No, he believed the word, and then he went home. He went home believing the scriptures. Hey, can I ask you today, do you believe the word of God? Oh, we sing it, we say we do, we talk about it. But do you really believe when Jesus said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus? Do you really believe that? Do you really believe in having food and raiment, let us be there with content? Do you really believe that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some may count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance? Do you really believe the verse where Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it? Do we truly believe the word of God? Well, it's easy to sit in the church house and say that we do. But then what do? We go home, we try to chart it out ourselves. We try to go home and figure it out ourselves. We try to go home and work it out, and we fail to believe what the Savior said. Have you made the choice to believe? I love the story. The man believed the word. And notice as it says in verse number 51. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. You know, can you see the servants here? You know, they probably love this boy. Many of them, maybe some of them had been the caretaker of that child. Man, they realized, man, this boy's all better. He's running around playing in the backyard, getting bumps and scrapes on his arm. Man, this is all great, right? He's happy. Everything's fine, right? They run to go tell the master, hey, your son's better. You know, if I was a servant, you know what I expect the man to do? I'd expect him to probably start crying. Boy, this is awesome. My son's all better. But that's not what the man did. The old man didn't say, oh, he's all better, let me do some cartwheels, shout. No, the man already believed he was alive, right? He already believed he was better. And he begins to quiz him. Hey, he's alive, well, when did he get better? Well, he got better yesterday. Aren't you happy? Well, no, what time did he get better? What time in verse number 52? Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. He quizzed them. He said, hey, guys, let me give you a test. Let me give you a quiz. When did he start to get better? What time? And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed in his whole house. Hey, he gave him a quiz. Hey, when did he get better? At the time when Jesus said he'd get better. You know what? I'm so thankful today that I can test my Savior. And I can look back and see where he's proved himself faithful. I'm so thankful. You know why? Hey, like you said, Brother Brady, about the $1,000 that came in 24 hours for you to go to England. Man, you can look back at those hallmarks of your life and say, that's where God did something. There's a test that's been proven. Faithful, he's faithful, he's faithful, he's faithful. And then we can take him to the bank. This man came with a burden. He came broken. He came with desperate faith. God called him, Jesus called him to go to a deeper faith. He believed the Savior's message. He stepped out, began to walk home. And I love the dependents, those that were impacted because of his faith. Look in verse number 53 at the end. It says, thy son liveth in himself, believed in this whole house. It says, verse number 53, in himself and believed in his whole house. What happened? The Bible says that the man believed. But you know who else believed? The whole house believed. Now, everybody knew. Everybody got excited. Everybody jumped on board and said, if that's what Jesus said, we're taking to the bank and we are committing our lives to him. We are willing to believe him. Can I ask you this morning, Christian, do you truly believe him? You believe him for salvation, but do you believe him in your day-to-day, everyday walk, or are you trying to figure things out on your own? I think about it in closing. My daughter, Lila, most of you know her. You've seen her run around, and the trouble in her eyes is exciting. I love it. She's a ballerina today. But you got to think about Lila. Lila is she's exciting, energetic, but she's very untrustworthy. She doesn't trust me, all right, sometimes. And I'll illustrate it this way, all right? Lily and Leah and Josiah would allow me when they were little kids to take them in their hands, in my hands. They'd sit, both of them put their feet on my hands. And I'd grab them, hold on to it, and I would take them and I would throw them up in the air like this. And they would stand up there like perfect ballerinas, and they'd look around, and sometimes they'd do the cheerleader, right? And they would, you know, have a big time up there. Why? Because they truly believed that their dad would hold them. They weren't sitting up there saying, all right, let me figure out how dad's doing this. No, they believed that dad had them in his hands, right? Well, Lila, she's not like that. I take her, and I'm like, all right, Lila, let's go. And I start to throw up, and she's like grabbing the hair. She's grabbing my beard. She's grabbing my ears. She's grabbing my neck. She's holding on for dear life. I'm like, come on, just do it. Hey, you know what? Lila does not believe her dad will hold her. Oh, she knows her dad will. She knows dad won't let me drop, fall on the ground, and bruise my head. She knows all that, right? It's academic, right? But when it comes to practical application, she just is a little too scared. You know, there are many Christians that believe it academically, but they're not willing to step out and apply it biblically in their life. They're not willing to take that deeper step of faith. Hey, this morning God calls you and God calls me to a deeper walk. Let's not stay stagnant. Let's not stay holding on to daddy's hair. No, let's, by faith, believe it, commit it to our life, and go on for Him. There was a desperate faith. There was a deeper faith. And the dependents got saved because of daddy's faith. I wonder today, will you take that next step in your walk of faith? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for word prayer. Father, You call us all to step out of the boat. You call us all to lay our Isaac upon the altar, to believe the word of God, and go on for You. Now, Lord, we need to apply it. We need to obey You. And so I pray today that we would surrender that one thing that we're holding on to. Lord, maybe it's the mission field. Or maybe it's a paycheck. Or maybe it's one's future. Whatever it may be, Father, help us to surrender to You. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I just wonder how many this morning would say, Pastor Schwenke, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. I've made the commitment, made the choice to trust Christ to be my Savior. I know I'm on my way to heaven, but man, God is calling me to step out of the comfort zone, and He's calling me to step out by faith and to take my walk with Him a little deeper. And God spoke to my heart this morning about an issue. Would you pray for me, Pastor Schwenke? I need to do this business with God this morning. If that's you, would you slip your hand up all over the room, preacher? Would you pray for me? God's dealt with me about some things this morning. I need to respond. Pray for me. Here's my hand. Good. Praise the Lord. Good. Preacher, pray for me. Good. Amen. Amen. I wonder, lastly, would there be one that might say, Preacher, you know, I don't know Christ as my Savior. I'm not sure today if I died, I'd go to heaven. But I know Jesus died for me on the cross and He rose again. And I need to make the choice to turn from my sin and turn to Jesus Christ for salvation. Pastor Schwenke, I'm not sure I'm saved, not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But I'm concerned about my soul. I want to get saved today. If that's you, you're not sure you're going to heaven, I'd like to pray for you. Would you slip your hand up? Won't embarrass you, won't call you out, but I'd like to pray for you. Preacher, not sure if I die today, I go to heaven, but I'm concerned about my soul. Would you pray for me? Here's my hand. Here's my hand. Well, Father, I pray this morning that we'd be obedient to You. God, help us to take that next step. Lord, show me, Lord, the next step I need to take in my life, and may I, by faith, be willing to do it. Lord, thank You for this message this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed as Kimberly continues to play the hymn of invitation this morning. The altar is open. Time for you to respond.